word, speak it out in your situation and declare it and stand on it and not back down. Don't let tomorrow, when you wake up, your hair don't look right, so you change your whole mind again. Stand on the Word of God. Find a way to do the research. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Look at the Bible as you would a warranty on your new car or your new chainsaw or your new bread maker, whatever it is. Get in that and research it. Push away the things of the world. And look at the Word. Find it on your situation. Declare it to be true, then speak it out. Speak it out. Because may my household shall be saved. I stand on that. I stand on that for my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And the great-grandchildren, all the generations that come behind me. I stand upon that Word. Don't let the things of the world waver you a bit. Amen? Don't let it do it. Your heart could be breaking right now because what's going on. Broken hearts, I know. But don't let it stop you from declaring the Word that they shall know Jesus as Savior and Lord. I'm saying you are a mighty weapon in the hand of the living God. Think of that. Your mouth is a machine gun. It's a bazooka. And the ammunition is the Word of God. Yes. And what the enemy wants you to do is quit shooting your mouth off. But shoot your mouth off in the Word of God. That's right. You fire and fire and fire. But keep it loaded with the Word of God. His Word is our strength. His blood is our protection. I mean, His military is beside us day and night. The angels are dispatched around us to intercede and minister for us. It's kind of like, let's say, put yourself in a foggy, real dense fog. And you need to get through there to take out the enemy. They're pushing that fog back, giving you a way to move, but you're bringing the weapon. And that's your faith. That's the word of your testimony. That's the Word of God. And speak it. We have to get over the part of, we've all done it. It's just sitting back. I just pray to God nothing happens today. Nothing today. Close my curtains up. Shut the lights off. Shut off the phones. Shut off the cell phone. We have to get over that. And greet every day new. Say, hey, I'm part of the lion that roars from Judah. Who shall we devour today, Lord? Where is the enemy at in my soul? Where is the enemy at in my children? My loved ones? My neighbors? Declare war against them in the name of Yeshua and speak His Word. God says judgment begins in my house. But also as judgment comes, revival comes, may the signs and wonders and miracles take place in the house of God first, then into the communities, into your houses, to your homes, to the loved ones that you've been praying for and fasting for. Victory's coming. But cleanse the temple. Amen? Cleanse the temple. Cleanse it. You don't take a dirty weapon in the war. You clean it out. Search me, O Lord, and see my deficiencies. Clean me out. Look, get rid of it. I give it to you today. A mighty army God is preparing for a fantastic victory for Him. He's called us all to be involved. All to surrender to Him. He wants to be that muscle behind you to move you for His glory. For His glory, man. He trusts us. He empowers us. He strengthens us. The greatest victory to the church. Wow. It's going to be awesome. It shall be greater than Pentecost. I'm telling you. If we fan the flames of revival, the repentance and worship of the living God. If you ever started a fire before, you look for a little amber, a little smoke, right? You get excited when you see the smoke because you keep fanning that thing. You keep fanning it, you're going to see a little flame pop up. And you keep fanning it and fanning it and fanning it, and whoo! Pretty soon the whole log is engulfed. Amen? Yeah. That's what's taking place today in the church. A little amber that's been kind of cold, but it's still glowing. The Holy Spirit is fanning it today. Come on, I want to start a fire inside of you like never before, and you won't be able to control it. Understand? You won't be able to control it. And your first thought is, well, what happens? I go to Walmart, and the fire in my soul takes off. Well, open your mouth up and let it go. Amen? Don't hold back. Don't hold back. I saw the other day when they went to Walmart, a church went to Walmart and had church because they allowed to go in there. And the fire of God fell. Boy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Remember, they always say that you're a peculiar people, right? Well, prove them right. Worship the Lord wherever they go. Trust in Him. Trust in the Word. Let His light shine through you. Last week, we talked about the three Hebrew boys. Y'all remember that? In the fire, I won't try to say the names. I chewed them up last week to do the same thing. But they were part of Daniel. Y'all remember Daniel? Anybody don't know Daniel? Okay. Daniel was put in charge of Babylon. The three Hebrew boys were working for him. They got thrown in the fire because they don't worship a false god. Christ showed up. They came out. Okay? Well, Daniel had favor. I'm going to put this in a nutshell. Daniel had favor with the king because Daniel had a way of interpreting dreams. And Daniel would tell him the truth. Others would lie to the king. I mean, someone could take your head off. Were you going to tell them, hey, your dream is saying, man, you're wiped out? No. But Daniel didn't care. He served the living God. The truth is what? The truth. Amen? Amen. Now, the truth will set you free. Amen, brother. And the truth may set you free from friends. But the truth is still the truth. We owe it to God. And those around us to share the love, the truth. Well, we find Daniel as we go on, as he's serving Nebuchadnezzar. I'll get his name mixed up in a second. No, I refuse that. I will not get mixed up. Amen. And he was somebody. He was a captive. You know, he was in Babylon. He's being held by the king, but he was so awesome that he raised him up to second command. And turned out to be, guys, that the other ones who was around him, those who was actually born in Babylon, they despised Daniel because he was getting so high up and the king was giving him great honor. So that we got to find something bad about him. Just one light there. We had to find something bad about Daniel to get him wiped out. We're going to get rid of Daniel. So they had to come up with a lie. Well, anyway, what they came up with is this. They looked at Daniel and how he worshipped God. And they knew that every day, three times a day, Daniel would go into his room and worship God as he faced himself toward Jerusalem and just worship God in his own house. So those who despised Daniel went to the king and said, hey, there's other people that's not worshiping you, not bowing down to you. That isn't right. Well, that's not right at all. So they got a law built up that anybody who was found for the next 30 days that found not worshiping Nebuchadnezzar would be thrown in the lion's den. So they typed it up, brought to the king, and he had his ring, his signet ring, and there you go. Now, when he does that, he cannot break his law. He can't go back on it. Felt pretty good about it. You know, yep, there we go. I'll be honored. Next thing you know, here they come. Hey, listen. This Daniel that you have, he's disobeying you. He's worshiping his God three times a day. Daniel knew the law went out, but he still worshiped God, amen? Why would he do that? Me and my house was so sure of the Lord. He's worthy of it all. We just sang that, right? He's worthy of it all. I think we did. I did at least. I don't remember. Okay. Amen. So, we see where Daniel had great favor with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, here he is. He was taken captive, promoted to the almost the first in command of Babylon. Wow. I mean, can you imagine capturing somebody, bringing them to your house, and putting them in charge of it? Man, you talk about favor of God, amen? But he had that favor from Nebuchadnezzar because of God that he served. Why would I turn my back on the one that I serve? He continued to worship him. But he said whoever's caught doing that had to be thrown in the lion's den. So they brought Daniel to him. He said, man, I wish there's something I could do. The king is saying, I wish there's something I could do, but what I said, I've done. And I can't change it. I can't change it, Daniel. So Daniel is brought and he's thrown into the lion's den. And the word of God said that Nebuchadnezzar, he went and fasted that night, praying that Daniel's God would intercede. And the next morning, at daybreak, he ran over to the den. He said, hey, Daniel. Hey, dude, you still there? Has your God rescued you? And then Daniel said, hey, can you live forever? My God has sent his angels, and he closed the mouths of the lion. Come out of there. He brought them out. Then those who made the false law, the men, their wives, and their children, was all thrown in the lion's den. And the word of God said they didn't hit the bottom yet before they ripped apart. Number one, I showed you right there what happens in rebellion against God. Okay? Now, it's not to scare anybody out here. It just tell you. If you're playing with God, you're going against God, you're going against a force that you're not going to be able to stop. Understand? So, we need to make sure, hey, God, all God, I'm in with God 100%. But also it shows me this. The king can only do so much. Amen? But God did the rest of it. Amen? So, to me, it speaks to me to nowadays is like this. There's only so much that Donald Trump can do. Understand that. He's not a savior. Only so much he can do, but God can do the rest of it. Amen? He can do the rest of it. We got to recognize that. We have to understand. We look at the scriptures. We look at the world today. Wow. We think in a way, man, we need Donald Trump to get reelected. Or the church is done for, right? Don't we? We think that, don't we? Well, I'll tell you something, guys. The church will not be done for whether Donald Trump is elected or not. Amen? It has nothing to do with the church. If you're following Jesus today, no matter what happens, you're worshiping Him or you're not. Okay? If your faith is based upon the election of a certain president, then your faith isn't based upon Jesus. But I'll tell you what's dependent upon this election coming up, and that's not had nothing to do about you. Understand that? It has something to do with those who are coming behind us. Because in the very near future, we're going to face people in charge of this country, what we call the Supreme Court. And they make decisions and interpret the Constitution of the United States of America. And we need somebody who honors God to make those decisions who's the place on that court. That's what the election's about. It's not about us. We will continue to worship God, honor God. I'll continue to praise God. I don't care who is in Washington, D.C. But my heart goes out to the hamburger machine that's trying to get into office. The king only is so much, but the faith that Daniel had in God delivered him. Amen. And our faith has to be in our God, trusting in Him, honoring Him, truly worshiping Him. That we declare that Thy will be done. That Thy will be done. But on Daniel, I condensed it together and I squeezed out too much of it, I think. Because I believe it was Darius was the king when Daniel went to the lion's den. Am I not correct? Give me. Give me 1 second. I wonder. We're in Daniel here. Okay, we'll walk through this. Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. I'm in chapter 4 of Daniel. Of a great tree. And you can read this chapter 4. And in this dream, he needed it interpreted. And what God was telling Nebuchadnezzar was, you are great, you grew up, you have power, you had strength. Everyone knows you. They're going to be cut down. Now this is Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar this. You're going to be cut down. And you're going to be out eating like a cow in the field for 7 years. But there'll still be a stump there. And God's going to bring you back and restore you to your power. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar the truth. And a year later, Nebuchadnezzar was removed from power. You find him out there. They said his face grew feathers under the covering of the Lord, under the dew of the Lord. And for 7 years, he was not in his right mind. But God restored him. Okay? God restored him. Verse 37 of chapter 24 says, verse 7, chapter 4. Try it again. Chapter 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of Heaven, for all His works are true and His ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. So again, it shows us that God's whole concern is to restore people, to bring people to full knowledge of him. He could have wiped out Nebuchadnezzar, but no, he shows his mercy right there. And Nebuchadnezzar declared God to be God and just. Then he's replaced by his son, Belshazzar. That's that right, Carol?
Yeah.
All right, I studied last night. And this is the king's son. He comes in. He goes in and takes all the gold and silver out of the temple. They drink, they party with it. They have a big time with it. And while they're in the house partying, it says suddenly the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. And of course, who did he call for? He called for Daniel to come and interpret it. And what he said in the handwriting, said, listen, you took the thing that belongs to God and you corrupted it. You took the things that belong to God and you corrupted it. You saw how your father, Nebuchadnezzar, had favor with God, even though he had to be pruned. He had favor of God. But now you took the things of God and you perverted it. The handwriting's on the wall. You'll be overcome and wiped out. And that night he was. And a guy named Darius became king. And folks, I think right there we look at what has happened. You had a king to honor God, come through a bunch of stuff and honoring God. Then his son took over, perverted everything of the Lord. He was removed, and now King Darius is going to take over. And myself, I see this as our nation. I see where 400 years ago this place was established for God, for Yahweh, to worship him, to honor him, to freely exalt him. And this nation was built upon him. And everything belongs to him. And we honored him. We had him in our laws that we wrote. We had him in our schools. We had him in our houses. We had him everywhere. We honored him. But as time went on, the enemy started coming in. The enemy started coming in and taking things of God and twisting it. Taking his word and twisting it. The enemy is still the father of lies. To here we are today, we are such in a conflict here that people are taking the things of God, the institution of marriage, he's taking the life itself, and they're taking it today, and they say, no, we are in charge here. We're going to take this sanctity that God created as ours. We'll decide what we're going to do with it. We are in charge here. Ain't no God's going to tell us anything different. And I'm telling you what right now, it isn't being overlooked by God. God hasn't changed any. And we're sitting back saying, oh, what's going on? You just keep praying. You keep standing on the word of God because the enemy shall be removed. Understand that. Nobody perverts the things of God and goes without his justice. Nobody. Now, I don't care what the name is. Nobody. Our God is a loving, caring God. For those who repent, for those who harden their heart and say, me, 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 you wash the hand of God. As we said earlier, the handwriting is already on the wall. We see this. And I know there's some that we say, yeah, boy, they deserve it. And I guess we all deserve hell. But thanks to the mercy of God. But don't forget about the ones who are being influenced. They've never heard the truth. We need to pray and intercede for them. We need to pray and intercede but to speak the truth. But as Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar was removed, Darius took over. He took over. Darius is now in charge. Daniel is still there. Because Belshazzar put Daniel in charge before he died. I mean, he told him the truth. You're going to get wiped out. So the last minute, I think he's trying to please God. Okay, Daniel, you're in charge of everything. It's too late. So when King Darius takes over, there's Daniel. And Darius honors Daniel and keeps him in charge. Darius is the one that they had him write the law about you can't worship any other god. So he didn't know what he's doing. He wasn't thinking about Daniel. You ever get caught up in some hype? You ever get caught up in somebody saying something? Yeah, you're right, you're right. Well, is it right for this? Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree. Well, here, sign this here. Have you ever made a decision without really looking at the consequences? I think we all have. And this is what Darius did. You know, we got to watch out because we can get egos pretty big. Amen? We can get egos. We can get pride humongous, you know. And, hey, I'm in charge here and we'll do what we want to do. Okay, it's a stupid thing. I don't care. I'm in charge. So I think we've all been there. Darius did this. And by the way, realize he just went against God. Even though he didn't honor our God, he was being blessed because of this man of God. And so here we are, looking the same way. We make decisions too hastily, and we find out our decision is against what God wants us to do. And we should remember this. Do what Darius did. Do what Darius did. He turned to God, fasted, and said, Daniel, I hope. He didn't say, oops, well, lost a good man. No. May we learn from that. When we do that, turn back to God. God of the universe, man, I made a dumb decision. I wasn't thinking. Well, Starkey, it's the 12th time he done it this month. Yes, Lord, forgive me. And that's what's awesome about Jesus. Just as Darius wanted Daniel to survive, Jesus is the same way. Many of us, we throw ourselves into that lion's den. Nobody had to open the door up, did they? It was right there. We saw it. We walked right into it. But there's still a God. There's still a God that in the middle of your lion's den that you put yourself in, you cry out to Him, oh God. And He's there. He's there. Some of you have the enemy laying, trapping you. Some of y'all getting set up. You're getting set up by friends. Some of y'all, people don't want to see you conquer anything. They don't want to see you survive. They're only happy when you're miserable. One minute they're patting you on the back, but the other hand stabbing you in the back. Again, get your strength from the Lord. Get your strength from His Word. We receive nothing that's contrary to God's Word. And if you draw that line, Jesus and Jesus only. Stick to it. Fight your battles in the Word. Don't take, well, I'm better than I was. Don't let that be your stopping point. Understand that? Don't let it be your stopping point. Let it be fuel to continue on. That you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let that Word clean you, clean you, clean you. And those who come against you, pray for them, but understand there's a day of reckoning for the wicked. My heart goes out to them. What comes against us doesn't go beyond the sight of our God. His plans are greater than our plans. Understand, we don't understand our God. We just trust Him. He rescued me 20 years ago. Who ever thought His plans for me started in motion 20 years before that? But it's us believing in Yahweh, Yeshua, that's the Hebrew name for Him. This isn't what I do. This shouldn't be what you do. This is who we are. Amen? Think of that. This is who we are. We worship because we love God. We honor Jesus. The more we love Jesus, that peace and joy is in us, the more our heart breaks. Amen? Because that's the love of Christ in you. The things of the past, when you say, "It ain't bothered me none," it bothers you now. In a good way. Your heart goes out. You see people being deceived just like we were at one time. And you go to them and say, "Listen up! Been there, done that!" And they won't listen to us. It's okay. We were them at one time. And what drew me, take my wife out of the equation, what drew me to Jesus was His love that I saw in His people. I'm going to take my wife out of the equation because she loves me all kind of love, you know what I'm saying? But when I saw love for me through strangers, wow. In verse 20, chapter 6 of Daniel, this is the morning time. King Darius has gone to the lion's den. Chapter 6, verse 20. And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said, "Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" I mean, he recognized God in Daniel's life. What a testament. People will recognize God in your life more in the hairiest times of your life, the hairiest or troublesome, than ever before. And Daniel spoke out, "You hairbag, who in the heck you thought you was throwing me in here? My God's going to smite you and wipe you out." Verse 21, then Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. This is the king that threw him in the lion's den to kill him. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. I have committed no crime. How many of us today can pray for our enemies and pray that they live forever? Just answer that question yourself at home. This guy, no matter how much he liked, he put him in the lion's den. You think, well, why didn't he just say, well, I made the law, I changed my mind, you're not going to put him in the lion's den. Why didn't the king do that? Because they would throw him in. That would be treason. I mean, once the Medes and the Persians' signet ring went down, you could not change it. So even if he said, hey, listen, Daniel, I'll go with you. What good would it do for King Darius to go in the lion's den with Daniel? Would that brought God into glory? No. Oh, they both got chewed up. Could have. He would have lost his power. Ripped. He lost his life. Well, he may have lost his life. God could have spared both of them like he did with Daniel. Follow me? King Darius could be unharmed. So Daniel, they come out. There's King Darius. He's already been stripped of his power. He couldn't make a difference in anybody's life. So, okay, I did what I had to do. I was tricked, God. I'm real fast. May you hand me upon Daniel. And God brought him out. Brought him out as a witness to the most powerful man in the world. And he took the enemies. The whole families. And put them in the lion's den. And I think what it shows us, we're all born in sin. And the wages of sin is death. Certain death. Guaranteed. Separation forever. So that sin that happened from the men, it cost the lives of them all. Because sin would be handed down from generation to generation. Amen? So, the kids are paying the penalty of the parents' sin. Isn't that sad? But look at the good news. Go back to what I said earlier. Salvation has come to your household. To you and your household. Amen? So just as sin took the, wiped out the whole family, the blood of Jesus Christ, when he redeemed us, it brings salvation to us, and he declares it, and your household. Amen? Is that his promise?
Yes.
Yeah, is it? Is it? Just because you don't see it. Just because it hasn't materialized yet. Trust God. Now, we all can get kind of selfish, can't we? What I mean by that, I want to see it today. I want to see it while I'm still alive. I want my kids and grandkids and aunts. I want them all sitting beside me in church. Woo! I'm going to praise the Lord. Well, listen, guys, we don't need to see it. Even if that will give us a peace. Trust in the Word of God. Trust in the Word. Even if our kids get thrown in the lion's den, because of your salvation, Christ will go with them. And it's a protection. But they will call upon the name of the Lord. How many of us has come to church and crawl back into the lion's den. But how many of us crawl back out? Well, I won't say crawl back out. How many times has God brought us out of the lion's den? Amen. Because He wants you. He wants you to trust Him. Now, He really wants you to stay out of the lion's den. What I mean by that, He wants you to quit falling in the temptation. He wants you to quit listening to the enemy. And what you're doing today, hearing His Word, sitting in His presence, that's awesome. It will strengthen you. Middle of this week, when you think it's all falling in, the Lord will speak with you. Have I not said, is my arms too short? I'll conclude with this. I want to read what... Now, every time I lay my Bible down, it flops over on me. Amen. What was that, Mama? Okay. O King, live forever. Verse 22. My God said to the angel, shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. And as much as I was found innocent before Him, and also toward you, O King, I have committed no crime. Now, if he would have hatred in his heart for the king, he would have had sin. Do you understand? Listen, saints. If Daniel, when he was placed in the lion's den, if he thought, I hate that king, the Bible says hatred is the same as murder. Well, what he would be saying, okay, my God isn't really in charge of my life. This king is. Then wouldn't that be a sin also? Do you understand? And we follow, he followed God. So nothing could come against him without God approving it. Or, you know what I'm saying? But nothing can come against him without the hand of God being on him. I'll put it that way, okay? We gotta watch ourselves. We can be upset. We can be angry at the things of the world. Recognize our enemy, guys, as Satan. But don't let our hearts ever get to the point that we hate the person who has been made in the image of God. Let us hate the enemy of our soul, Satan. I mean, if Kenny Weekly would have drove his car in the town today, got out and came in and thumped me. Now, would I be mad at his car he drove in or at Kenny? Well, the spirit that controls the people who are made in the image of God is an antichrist spirit. It's a terrible spirit. It's a spirit that we are battling. Don't hate the image of God that we're made in. Amen. We want to be rescued. And that takes conditioning of the heart. The king then gave orders in verse 24, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them and their children and wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their homes. Then Darius the king wrote to all the people, nations and men everywhere, every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus and the Persians. So verse 25, let's make it verse 26 and 27. If you would, let that be a verse for this week for you to go over and listen to it. With this verse, I have one verse in Isaiah chapter 9 I'd like for you to turn to. Isaiah chapter 9. I had it marked there. Isaiah Got it. All right. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. And this is a call for the church, for the living body of Jesus Christ. Isaiah says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors as a battle amid them." Verse 2 and 3. That's you as a Christian. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. They will see the light of Christ in you shining. Amen? They will see that. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You will multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. You will be glad in your presence. There's something about you that's kind of peculiar. Not sure what that is. But when I get around you, I get this peace. I get around you, I just feel this hope. There's something that you say. It's how you say things. Now over here with my buddies, they're either rioting or just protesting heavily. Anger, hatred. But over here, as these peculiar people worship the Lord, man, it's like different between day and night. I don't want to back over here. If that's you, the light of Christ in your life. I don't know about you, but I had an awesome time praying the worship this morning. I can't even talk. Wow. And to me, if you look up in the atmosphere, looking down, I can see the light of Christ come up through here. But not just here, here and here and here and here. And you're going to leave here today, you're going to be shining. You'll be shining wherever you go. And people are going to see the glory of God on you. They're going to see a great light that belongs to Jesus. Wow. And those in darkness today, this is darkness here for a minute. Play my head, okay? There. That's darkness. This is the church. Amen? You always go to hell. That's where you belong. I don't know why they don't come to church. Huh? I don't know why they ain't coming. Is that going to draw anybody? Amen. Now, I know you guys never do that. And that's why I zip my Bible up. I threw the cover. Bible just happened to be inside of it. But just loving Jesus. I don't even have to say anything to these people. I just worship my God. That's what I do. And God will draw them to me. We'll bring one and he might come in, and it could be a challenge. Ha! You punk. It's this God you worship. You think you're better than I am? Oh, I just praise Jesus, man. He died for all of us, man. He just loves us. you're a punk. Oh, yeah, but I'm a punk that loves Jesus. See what I'm saying? Tough skin. Got to be that way. But the Spirit inside me softens me. And this only happens if we worship Him, go closer to Him, allow Him to live through us. We can want to be this way, but we never, if we can say that, we never work out. But I mean, I can want to be as muscle bound as Jason over here, okay? But if I don't want to work out for it, it ain't never going to happen. So if we want the love of Christ in us to shine through us, then we have to want to. Okay, God. Jason, you ever feel like not wanting to work out? Some days you probably do, don't you? Okay. You get to the point you don't want to work out. But you do anyway because you know you need it. And this is the same way here. All right. I really want to watch reruns of MASH today, but I need this here, you know. And get into it, and you find yourself, you can't put it down. And this Word of God is alive. I mean, I studied this last night again. Reading it this morning, He's speaking to me as I'm sharing it with you. He'll do the same with you, the Spirit of the living God, who wrote this, lives inside of us. He'll show you more and more and more. And it will take us and mold us in the image of the living God. So may we be that bright light, that those in darkness will see that. I know years ago, I used to go to the Catholic Church. We sang a song. They will know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know that we are Christians. There's probably any Catholic here, right? Okay. But truly, it's our love that will draw people. It was the love of people I didn't know. I loved the cop. I walked through the doors of a church. And that same love lives in us. Amen. Amen. I would like to have. I just want to share my heart for a second on another matter. I know some of you all might have to go. Don't condemn me. You got to go, go. Heaviness in the world today, it can get us to the point that we have no hope. That's a lie from the evil one. I beg of you today, I put my heart out to you today, that is you at any time, call me, call my wife. You get to the point that I just can't go on. It's a severe attack of the enemy. Call. We will pray. We will speak the Word of God with you and through you. Because the enemy, he is coming full bore and trying to catch us off guard. We need to keep the Dresden Police Department in our prayers. They lost an officer last night. He took his own life. And the heart goes, I've been there before. I sat there before with a gun in my own hands. And the stress. And getting to a job where it seems like the time nobody wants you. Then we just need to pray for them. And for all our first responders. I mean, we have officers walking to hell every day to defend us. Because they're calling, that's what they do. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. And we lift up the Dresden Police Department, the citizens of Dresden, all law enforcement officers today. God, we just say, come. Help them, Lord. Just come. Comfort in the way that you can comfort, God. God be with his officer family. But God, we just pray for the officers, Lord, that are serving us day and night. We pray for their strength, their stability, but God, we pray that from this, their reach out, their actions for help is not a weakness, God. Lord, they're called upon to carry the burdens of the world. And they don't know where to turn, but God, to you. To you is where strength lies. To you is where the truth is. God, for all those who selflessly give their lives for us. Those who run in the buildings. God, your angels be around them to watch over them, Father. And we just cast down that spirit of suicide and depression and heaviness. That God, that this thing will not fuel a pandemic. And Lord, for those who say, I've had enough, we understand. Show them it's not weakness, Father, to return back to civilian life. As you raise up the next generation, may they be strengthened. And guide Jesus as your body to share your love, your strength, and your comfort. And Lord, in this church, I cast down the spirit of suicide. And we speak life. That Jesus, you came and give us life and give it more abundantly. And we declare that today to be true. That our life is found within you, Jesus. Our life isn't found into the world. It ain't found upon material things. It's not found in, our life isn't found in other people. It's found in you. And through that life that you give us, through us, you live around others. And that we are your light. We are your life. God, your word says that we shall tread upon the cobra. We just pray for that spirit of boldness and strength, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.